the most well-known superheroes in American pop culture have mostly been men. When it comes to saving the day, female heroes have been few and far between. But turn on Netflix or consider the biggest blockbusters from the last few years, and it seems like girls and women are less likely to be the damsels in distress or less confident sidekicks. Now, more and more young girls are starring as action stars in mainstream movies and TV. Take a listen.
I'm her. The woman who saved the plane.
I would love to be upstairs watching TV or gossiping about boys or, God, even studying. But I have to save the world. Again.
You didn't stand your ground. You didn't fight.
Because there was no chance of changing his mind.
This is Ares, and he's not going to allow a negotiation or a surrender. The millions of people you talked about, they will die.
Primrose Everdeen.
Prim! Prim! Stop! I volunteer! I volunteer as tribute.
That was Supergirl, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Wonder Woman, and, of course, The Hunger Games. Spring Duval joins us now to look at female superheroes in pop culture. She's an assistant professor of communication at Salem College. Spring, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So when did we start to see this shift of girls taking on these roles of the hero?
Well, it's interesting you played the clip of Buffy the Vampire Slayer because, in a way, we were having some similar conversations in the 90s about these action star girls filling television and film and a real emphasis on being more physically aggressive. But really, we've seen quite a bit of shift around the Hunger Games and in more recent years as new franchises have developed these strong female characters, and then existing franchises like Star Wars have begun casting the women and girls as the lead protagonist.
And before that, I mean, you said there were some examples in the 90s. I remember Buffy, too, but it seemed like what was so unusual was because she was a girl, and that was sort of almost the whole conceit in the beginning before the show took off, but what was it like for women who were watching these shows, superhero movies and things like that? What were the roles for women then?
You mean in the 90s?
Yeah, in the 90s and leading up to where we are now.
Well, we saw these characters begin to take on more action roles, again, more physically aggressive. And yes, that was the hook, the sort of novelty that girls and women could be violent, which was typically associated with men and boys. But we did see that many of those characters, and Buffy included, they were still very much conforming to beauty norms. They tended to be slender. They tended to be white. They tended to dress almost like fashion plates. And so they were being aggressive, but they were doing it in high heels and full makeup. And so there was still a very limited depiction of them. And often we would also see them in those time periods relegated to the sort of sidekick role.
And what about today? Where do we see women taking off and taking on some of these new roles? We talked about a couple of them, but which ones are you especially impressed with?
Well, some of the ones I've been watching, as I said, and taking notice of, are the casting for the new Star Wars films, the latest Star Wars films. The new Wonder Woman film has been really challenging the idea of comic book heroes, which has been, in terms of summer blockbuster films, really dominated by the traditional male characters. And so for Wonder Woman to privilege that female character that has existed for quite some time and has been appealing to women and girls for a long time, now to have the big budget, high production value, large release has been very significant. And then we can look at a shift also in animation away from the typical princess to a more nuanced lead female character as well when we look at Moana, for example, as a departure from the past princess movies that have been so typical.
Let's talk about Wonder Woman for a second. Do you consider that movie a win? You mentioned some good things about it, but on the other hand, she was also barely wearing anything, had a lot of makeup on, looked like a supermodel while she was doing it. So what is the message there?
I do think that it's a lot of pressure to put on one film to expect it to be completely without problem. So in many ways, it is going to conform to the genre in terms of the way that she looks, the character that she was in the comic books, the way that she's been depicted in films and her iconic outfit and those sorts of things. But there was quite a lot of emphasis in that film on female physical power, but also inner strength. There was quite a bit to the narrative about vulnerability, the power of love. And so in terms of building a more nuanced character, yes, she was somewhat stereotypical physically, but she does push boundaries for what we expect to see with a woman in a comic book film. And again, as the lead character rather than a sidekick or a side character, she opens up those doors for more nuanced and more complicated depictions, hopefully, in the future. So in terms of a win, as a film overall, it has its problems, but it certainly has been important as a boundary breaker in terms of not just Wonder Woman as a lead character in a major film, but in terms of featuring a female director as well.
We're talking right now to Spring Duval, assistant professor of communication at Salem College, looking at how girls are increasingly becoming the heroes in film and on TV. And what do you think it does for girls growing up and also for women to see women and in some cases girls in these leading types of roles, including action roles?
Well, for a very long time, girls have had a fairly limited visibility in media. And so to be able to see themselves in the hero role provides girls with more variety in their role models. They are able to look at these powerful women and girls and everything from Hunger Games, again, to Wonder Woman, and see someone that they might aspire to be like, or that reflects them better than the typical boy hero might. We can see that this, just the visibility alone can be empowering, but then we can see how it might normalize the idea that, well, girls are complicated, they can be powerful, they can be very capable. It also validates that audiences have been really clamoring for these depictions for a very long time, and girls and women have quite a bit of purchasing power. So recognizing that this is what girls and women, many girls and women, are wanting to see, and then that they are, you know, sort of speaking with their money and buying movie tickets, watching television, and buying merchandise and so on.
And what about boys? What do you think boys growing up and men get when they see women in these roles? Does it help move the perception of what women can be?
I think it does. There is some evidence that children can be impacted by gender role stereotypes in media. And so while boys have been able to consume television and film and see representations of boys and men, much greater variety, they can see themselves in those depictions, they've typically been seeing girls as sidekicks or as sex objects, very sexy depictions. And so boys can see more nuanced girl characters as well, or see girls in those roles, and it can open up more possibility of seeing girls as, again, capable, as powerful in their own right, and not just existing to be looked at or to be sidekicks. And in fact, what's really interesting to me when I look at some programs, if we look at something like the television program Stranger Things, with the girl protagonist Eleven being a very powerful and nuanced character, but the cast of boys who are interacting with her are also fairly diverse and very interesting, very unique characters. And so I think sometimes if we see these girls cast in more diverse roles, we can also see that in the rest of the content reflected in more interesting roles for boys as well.
Mm. What did you think of the Ghostbusters remake starring all women in those roles that were typically, you know, those big name comedians, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd? It also, it seemed to me, busted another stereotype, which wasn't just the action part of it, but that women can be funny, that women are funny.
Yes, it's gotten so much attention lately, and it's really something that started, I think, to shift a little, where that question of whether women are funny is sort of being put to bed. But we saw that with Bridesmaids before Ghostbusters, and I think that what was interesting there was the backlash against Ghostbusters as having been one of those franchises that was so iconic and so important for people, and to then make that gender shift seemed to cause quite a controversy. But what it does is, again, it shows that women and girls can and should be in a diverse range of roles, from comedies to action to drama and so on, where we've seen in the past typically boys and men in a great variety and diversity of genres and productions. So there was sort of something that boys and men could look to regardless of their taste. But for women and girls to be able to also, again, have that choice of genre, of style, in those high production value films and television, really gives girls and women more options and validates that they are a powerful segment of the audience.
We're talking to Spring Duval right now, assistant professor of communication at Salem College, and we're looking at how girls are increasingly becoming the heroes in film and on TV. And we want to hear from you on the Central Time Facebook page. Do you see girls and women being cast as heroes in stories more often? Is there a girl hero that inspires you or inspires your kids? And do you look for more representation in heroes in books and TV and film? You can post on the Central Time Facebook page and see what other folks have to say while you're there. And we'll continue our conversation in a little bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing the conversation right now with Spring Duval, assistant professor of communication at Salem College, and we're talking about why TV and movies are increasingly casting girls as heroes. And you can tell us what you think on the Central Time Facebook page. Do you look for shows that have girls and women as the heroes? You can tell us why. Do you have a favorite, and do you think that girls and boys can learn from those kinds of stories? You can let us know what you're thinking over on the Central Time Facebook page. Let's go to our first caller now. We've got Paul joining us in Chippewa Falls. Paul, hi.
Hi. I wanted to call about how Ghostbusters, it had mostly women. It had an all-women cast, but if it was cast with all men for the second coming of, I don't think a lot of people would have gone to see it. And I was wondering if some, you know, producers promote these all-women casts to try to get more people to view them. Thank you.
Paul, thanks for that. And do you see anything, I don't know, he's not quite using this word, but anything gimmicky about using an all-women cast in Ghostbusters and women in other places? Is it a novelty or is this a cultural shift?
Well, in a sense, we can see reboots and reboots of franchises as gimmicky, as trying to take a franchise with a built-in audience and make more money off of it. So that happens with many franchises, comic books franchises, Star Wars, Star Trek. And so when studios have these franchises, they own the rights to, they own the script to, there's money to be made very often by revamping or rebooting those in some kind of fresh and appealing way. And so there is that motivation, that notion of, well, we could make more money off of this franchise if we reboot it or revamp it in some way, and then what's the novel way we could revamp it? But it's not gimmicky or just a novelty to try to appeal to women and girls as an audience segment, because, again, there is money to be made off of women and girls as audience members, as ticket purchasers. We know that movies that feature female protagonists and movies that are directed by women are very profitable. So recognizing that is actually makes good business sense. It's not a one-off. It does seem to be a shift on the production side to recognize it makes business sense to produce these films and television shows and market to women and girls because they are such a powerful segment of the purchasing population. But then there is a cultural shift because we can situate this in a larger context where we're seeing discussions about diversity in Hollywood in terms of race and ethnicity, discussions about pay equity in Hollywood for women and girls. So all of these other broader aspects contribute to a greater diversity on screen.
Thanks a lot for that call, Paul. We appreciate it. And we're going to go next to Margaret in Madison. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to talk about Xena Warrior Princess.
Ah, yeah. What did you want to say?
I have two daughters that grew up in the 90s, and boy, Xena Warrior Princess was a huge presence in our household. And it led to all kinds of creative play, creative costume making, making weapons, if you want to call them such, out of cardboard boxes, out of anything that they could find. My older daughter, she and her first boyfriend, I came home once and they were choreographing a stage fight in the backyard with lances. And what I liked most about that is that not so much that it empowered women, but it just made gender roles seem a little bit obsolete because Xena was so great and she fought for good and stuck up for the little person. But, you know, she didn't always fight against men. Sometimes she's against women, evil presences. And I was just really happy that my daughters got to grow up with that.
Margaret, thanks a lot.
It could have been a little bit of a cheesy show. It was wonderful in so many ways.
Margaret, thank you for sharing that. And Margaret's story there, a testament spring to the influence that a TV show can have on the way we think creatively and maybe also the way we think about gender.
Oh, absolutely. And the 90s were quite important for me growing up or coming of age. And actually this fall I'm fortunate enough to be teaching a class that's going to take a deep dive into 90s girl media and culture. Hmm. And Xena was an absolutely important cultural moment in terms of this depiction of this woman, but how inspiring again and how important it is for girls to be able to turn on a screen and see a character that can be a role model for them, that they can emulate and be inspired by and, maybe not hurt each other if they're sisters and making weapons, but what it does is, to the point about making gender seem obsolete, what we begin to grapple with is the fact that in many ways these good versus evil hero tales can be genderless or gender neutral. They can be, those roles can be performed by men or women, boys or girls. We don't necessarily need to categorize them. They can become more universal.
Do you think that, are you seeing women of color getting in on this renaissance for women's roles, or is it still an imbalance toward white women?
There is still an imbalance, and we see that, again, as I mentioned, with the discussions around diversity in Hollywood, around the controversy of hashtag #OscarsSoWhite, that there is much work to be done in terms of racial diversity, ethnicity, and so forth. There was just another controversy around pay equity in terms of race. Yes, Hawaii 5-0, the two stars, two of the stars of that show. So there is absolutely improvements to be made in terms of race and ethnicity. And that is something that doesn't need to be obscured when we're talking about gender. You make an excellent point.
So things are changing, and we're hearing about it and seeing it on screens big and small. What do you think the blue sky is here? What would you like to see when maybe we've completed a turn toward gender equity in film and entertainment?
So really the goal not to put us both out of business, but the goal is that we wouldn't be having this conversation, that it would be so normalized and so common to see greater diversity in terms of women and girls, in terms of race and ethnicity, and so on, that we don't have to talk about it as being a novelty, as being a new trend. And so hopefully, as we see these films become, films and television, become incredibly successful, a huge blockbuster for Wonder Woman, very profitable franchise for Hunger Games, Stranger Things being award-winning, and so on. Hopefully, as it makes more and more business sense, studios will continue in this direction because audiences flock to diverse representations, and we've seen audiences really clamor for this, and now that they're getting what they've wanted, we're seeing it become more successful.
Well, Spring, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Spring Duval, Assistant Professor of Communication at Salem College, joining us to talk about the shift for girls to be heroes in stories on TV and in film.